The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
When you turn on the evening news, do you see what you want to see or what you need to see? Welcome to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. It seems like more often than not, the good news and people that are making it are buried into a two-minute feature piece near the end of the report. What about giving these people and this kind of news a full hour every week? Now, here's your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
Hello. We have a fun show planned for you today. We'll be talking to Ethan Alexander, founder and executive director of Open Roads. It's in, as he says, the magical town of Kalamazoo, Michigan. Open Roads is all about bikes, riding them, fixing them, tricking them out. And it's also about relationships. Young people mostly, but not exclusively. You'll learn more about the connection in a few minutes. But first, I'd like to talk with you about Bread for the Journey, who we are, what we do, and why it matters that we exist. We've been around for 25 years. Our tagline is, we make it easy to make a difference. And we do. Today, we have over 130 volunteers nationwide and 26 chapters in cities everywhere. And since our inception, we've been responsible for giving away about $4.5 million. So people come to us who are ready to start a giving circle in their community. Usually they're people who are at a stage where they recognize that giving back is really part of a life well lived, and they are working consciously to craft a life that that matters in the world. And so we help them do that. We give them lots of things. First, we give them 501c3 nonprofit status with the IRS so that they can go to their donors and tell them that they're donation is tax deductible. We give them a resource guide filled with all kinds of tools for how to run a giving circle. They automatically become part of a nationwide network of grassroots philanthropists. We give them web hosting and a professionally designed website. We give them templates for any kind of paper or online document they'll need so that their materials look really professional and sharp and eye-catching. Publicity, as in the conversation we're having right now, and a recognized brand that's been around for 25 years. And each year we also host an annual retreat where we all come together to build relationships and share best practices. And it's a beautiful event. So what we're doing is basically democratizing philanthropy. We are making it easy for anyone to stretch their giving muscles and become a philanthropist, although most often we just use the word generosity. So let me tell you a story to show what I mean. This is something that happened a few years ago in Santa Fe, New Mexico. So a woman who was driving in the early morning at the beginning of winter, and by the side of the road was a homeless man who was just sort of beginning to move around, and it was cold outside, and I don't know, something happened. She made eye contact with him, and something happened in her heart. She pulled over, got out of her car, and began speaking to this man, and she asked him if there was any, you know, one thing that I could give you to make your life easier, what would it be? And he said, a warm sleeping bag. And she thought, you know, I could do that. And she asked him if he knew other people that could use a warm sleeping bag. And he said, yes, he had lots of people that were also homeless that he was connected to. And so she figured out a way to connect with him again where it is that he hangs out, and she left. And she, in her mind, thought of an idea of getting a bunch of sleeping bags and using this man to help her distribute them to people that needed it most before the cold, cold of winter really began. And so she went to a sporting goods store and talked with the manager about her idea, and he was able to give her a price, a cost price, on something like 100 sleeping bags that were all really rated pretty warm for winter. And then she took that number and idea and contacted one of us at the, I wasn't in the group, it's our board of directors for Bread for the Journey of Santa Fe. And they invited her to a meeting, and she sat down and sort of just told this whole story and said, this is the amount of money I'm going to need in order to do this. And it wasn't very much. And the board decided that they wanted to help and funded the story. I mean, funded the bags. And so she went back to the spot once she had the bags, made the connection with this homeless man, and together they distributed, I think it was something like 100 sleeping bags to people just before winter began, very warm sleeping bags. And so this story, it was such a powerful story because for me it illustrates many of the things we at Bread for the Journey believe. We believe that the solutions to a problem in a community arise from the people who live in that community. So we don't start a giving circle and come into a community with a plan to try and fix what we think needs to be fixed. Our goal really is to spread our net wide and to find people like this woman who live in the community and see the problems and have a connection, an empathetic, compassionate connection, and have an idea for how to make their community better. And so we help them. We help them. We try to respond in some meaningful way. Most of the time, it's giving a small grant to make it occur. Another thing is we believe that sometimes, and quite often actually, a small gift is the most meaningful gift. You know, this woman simply had a moment of compassion and empathy that she acted upon. The homeless man had a moment of, I would say, perhaps vulnerability in which he responded to her inquiry, then helped his friends. She never went on to create a warm sleeping bag program, although that would have been great if she had, and often we fund programs that go on. We're in the early stages when an idea is emerging, and often those programs grow. But we don't consider that to be a requirement. And in this case, it was a small one-time kind of gift. She had a great idea with a beginning and an end, and we were in the middle of that story responding to her request for help to make it happen. But I can promise you this, that homeless man who became a philanthropist has never forgotten that experience. I can probably assure you that it was a powerful experience for him and for her and for all the people that were warmer that winter. And we think those things are significant and they change people's lives. Another thing we believe in is we don't believe in a lot of paperwork. You know, we give micro grants. You know, it's appropriate to have large proposals for large grants and large projects. But our job is really at the beginning stages of an idea, and our grants are what we call micro grants. You know, sometimes they're $250, sometimes they're $1,000. You know, they're never over $3,000. Most of them are around the $1,500 range. And so we don't really believe a lot of paperwork is needed for these things. There's so many benefits that happen from just giving with an open hand and a trusting attitude. And in this case, you know, the woman who came to us never wrote a proposal. She called. She came to a meeting with our Santa Fe board. She spoke from her heart about what had occurred and what she imagined could happen if she got this funded. And we paid for the sleeping bags. It was really that simple. So if you'd like to make a contribution to Bread for the Journey to help us flourish and grow and create more centers like this around the country, please go to our website, breadforthejourney.org. And click on the donate button. If you'd like to be considered for a role on our board of directors, we're just beginning our open call process. So you can write to me at bfjradio@gmail.com, and I'll send you information. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And if you'd like to partner with us to take Bread for the Journey to the next level and reach even more people, helping us to our vision statement is nurture the seed of generosity in every human heart. Also, write to me at bfjradio@gmail.com. We'd love your company and we need your help. So now let me introduce you to Ethan Alexander of Open Roads in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I met Ethan a couple of years ago when he was doing a presentation about Open Roads after he'd been given a grant by our chapter, Bread for the Journey of Southwest Michigan. And he was so alive and spirited that I simply never forgot him and the work he is doing. Ethan has a master's degree in counseling psychology and over 10 years of experience in child and family therapy. He's a positive behavior support specialist at Kalamazoo Regional Educational Services, and he's worked extensively in training and coaching in non-structured school areas like playgrounds and cafeterias. So he comes to his work at Open Roads with a lens for what turns kids on and what activities enhance the development of the whole person, body, mind, spirit, emotion. And the organization he founded, Open Roads, creates an environment in which young people can build social skills and bike mechanics skills while having fun. And Ethan knows in his bones how important that is for their future. Good morning, Ethan, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mariana. Thanks for having me here.
You're welcome. Glad to have you here. I'd like to begin by having you tell us a little bit about your own experiences with bikes as a kid and how you think this contributed to your bicycles and kids worldview today.
Sure. I think that's kind of the backbone of this program. I was raised in northern Michigan in Traverse City. And when I was about two, at the time my brother was about four. My brother and I were being raised by my father, and we lived next door to the local bike mechanic. And so at the age of two, he said, you know what? I don't think we need a car. I don't think that's going to be a necessary thing in our life. And we're just going to go by bike, just like the family next door. And so, you know, I was two. I had no cause for protest. I just kind of went with it, and my brother as well. And so for the next like 10, 12 years, we moved around that town solely on two wheels. We started off on a tandem, a two-seater bike, and then in a few years, we graduated to a triplet, which is a three-seater bike. And then after that, we were all riding our own bikes. And it was a fascinating experience because my father, in that single choice, kind of made us almost counterculture. I don't know how to put it, but he moved us around summer, spring, winter, fall, all year on bikes, and it was fantastic because it just brought us a lot of vitality and a really amazing lens with which to see the world. So,
is he still alive today and getting to watch you build this program, Open Roads?
He is, and he doesn't have a car. He's 74 years old, and he rides his bike and plays tennis and swims. He's an amazing man. Henry Morgenstein is an amazing man. So, yeah, he's been to the program. He's seen the bikes. Yeah.
That's really great. I can see why you're the perfect person for this organization you're creating. So what programs do you offer at Open Roads? Teach us about what you do there.
Sure. Well, we kind of are a multi-pronged organization. So I think one of the most prominent programs that we offer is our Earn a Bike program, right? So That is where we go into schools and after-school programs and summer camps and do like an 8-week program in which we work with 4 to 7, sometimes as many as 9 or 10 kids at a time in a small group anyway. And we take them through a process where each session they learn new skills. They learn on 1 week how to fix a flat tire and how to introduce yourself. And then the following week, they learn how to adjust their brakes and how to listen to somebody else. And then each week, they learn a distinct mechanic skill and social skill together. And we kind of talk about what those mean in the context of learning how to take care of something and how to take care of yourself. So that's kind of our primary program. And then at the end, if they complete all the sessions and demonstrate the skills, they then earn the bike that they've been working on. So that's kind of our core program, that earn a bike program. And sometimes we have kids who come into a program and say, "Ooh, I want this bike," or "I want that bike," and "Ooh, can I get..." And we say, "Well, hold on. I want to make sure that you understand the difference between open roads and Christmas. Christmas, just good. Get things because you're a good person."
That's right.
But at open roads, you have to earn things. So we definitely stress the earning component.
So that's why you call it earn a bike. I see. That makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm going to stop you for a second right here because we have to stop for a break. And to our listening audience, stay with us. We're going to hear more about Earn a Bike. We're going to hear about the other programs that they offer at Open Roads. And it's going to be exciting. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
There are people just like you who want to make a difference. God's vision for the end time is to bless those that help others. Tune in to Wilderness Mountain Ministry with host Brother Jackie Grissom and co-host Brother Steve Zarling. Our program will help those in Israel who are homeless and starving. We'll also talk about religious, political, and personal matters, as well as end-time prophecies. Listen for Wilderness Mountain Ministry, broadcasting live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America. Are you struggling to find hope in the middle of adversity? How confident are you in dealing with your life challenges? Do you realize you have the ability to overcome your obstacles? You'll want to tune in to Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities. Louise will speak to inspiring guests who have helped others or managed to overcome the roadblocks that stood in the way of their life success. Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities broadcasts live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us. And we're here speaking to Ethan Alexander, founder of a program called Open Roads in Kalamazoo, Michigan. So we've been talking about one of the programs at Open Roads called Earn a Bike, where they work with kids ages 4 to 7, sometimes as old as 9 or 10 years old, in 8-week programs. And they're teaching them how to do things with a bike, like adjust the brakes or fix a flat, at the same time that they're teaching them social skills, like how to introduce oneself and how to listen well when somebody else is speaking. Ethan, I guess for you, I'm asking the question, how do those two flow together? And what made you think about putting them together?
Sure, that's a valid question. Well, our main goal is to help prepare kids for life. You know, our mission statement is to teach kids valuable social skills and bike mechanic skills to help them be better prepared for their future, right? So, I think it's really important to learn how something works and to be able to take care of something and understand how to maintain it. And I think a lot of kids are hands-on learners. They learn by doing, by twisting things, by pulling things, and at times by breaking things. That's the way many people learn. And I think that's important. But what I also have realized is that getting along with other people, being able to play nice together, is a critical skill. And so if we want to help prepare kids for success in school, in families, in their first job, you need to be able to tell them how to do those core things of how to listen to people, how to follow directions, how to shake somebody's hand and look them in the eye. You know, those, in my book, are critical skills, and I think we're missing out on some of those. You know, you can teach a kid reading and mathematics and, you know, a lot of technical skills, but if you don't teach them the soft skills, then they're not going to be able to go that far. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the pairing.
You know, my sister was good at that in raising her kids. I would say my brother as well. But I remember my sister saying, at working in high school years after her kids, when her kids were in high school, how many kids she met who really didn't know how to look her in the eye as they were having a conversation with her and how to introduce themselves. So I think you're right on when you say these are skills that we can teach, and they're skills that kids need adults to help them learn.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of what I see. I mean, we work in some underprivileged neighborhoods and see kids who have, you know, a wonderful spirit and great light within them, but there are times that they have come from homes or from areas in which those skills haven't been explicitly taught. And a lot of us have been really fortunate to have parents or role models or coaches or people who've taught us how to do things, but some people don't get that. Mm-hmm. So,
right. So what other kinds of things, as you've talked a little bit about this, do kids need to be able to do to actually earn a bike? And then what happens at the end? Do they just get a bike? Do they build it themselves? Maybe you can tell us a little about that.
Sure. So again, it's a process in which they move through typically 8 to 10 sessions, and each week they're demonstrating skills, right? So I could go into some of the technical things of a bike, but I won't do that. You know, it's brakes and gears and cables and levers, and those are important things. And Jason, our mechanic, could expound much more articulately on those things. But, you know, I'm not the mechanic, so I'm not going to do that. Yeah. And we also have, you know, our staff is Jason Roon, who's our bike mechanic, and Eric Clark, who is our social skills instructor. So each week they kind of pair up and they talk about those mechanic skills and also about really showing the soft skills again. And, you know, they range from listening to following directions to how to respectfully disagree with someone. And so they break those down into small parts. So, you know, there are only four parts. We use a evidence-based curriculum, skill streaming that they break down into pieces and really distinct steps that kids can follow. So they have to do those things. And the other thing that we've kind of put into the program is a really explicit set of expectations. And they are respect, own your actions, attitude, discipline, and safety. So those are our Rhodes expectations. So kids really have to each week learn what respect looks like, learn what owning your actions look like, learn what discipline looks like. We go into lessons about discipline is starting what you finish. So even if you open up a project on a bike, if you know, take the bottom bracket apart, it's really important to finish that off, because if you don't do that, then the bike will not be safe. And then we go into safety and things about wearing your helmet and making sure your bike is well tuned and adjusted. So it, you know, in a sense, it's kind of a challenging curriculum. You have to demonstrate all these things in terms of the social skills, but you also have to do those behaviors that translate into living the Rhodes expectations. So it's kind of a complex set of curriculum. And honestly, there's some kids who start and then say, you know, like, they might not come for the last 3 weeks. And in that case, you know, there are more kids out there who can earn bikes. Mm-hmm. So it's really, it's a good process. And most of our kids graduate and earn that bike, but we challenge them because I believe in that. I think it's important to give those kids a challenge and something to earn, something to work for.
Yeah, and that's how they grow. It's beautiful. I mean, as you're talking, I just keep thinking of this as a national program, and I hope that at some point you think about it that way, because I've never heard anything quite like this, and I'm really impressed, Ethan.
Well, thanks. And I do have to be fair here. When I thought of this program, I thought, you know, wow, I've really put my finger on something exciting, you know, bike mechanics and mentoring kids. And then I did some research and I learned that across the country, there are programs that do similar things. None of them, you know, I like to say none of them does those things as well as we do. But, you know, there's a program called Bikes Not Bombs just outside of Boston. There's the Community Bike Center in Maine. There's a couple in California, actually. And I'm sure there are some in Arizona that have ways of mentoring kids and using that earn a bike model so that kids can learn the skill of bike mechanics. And honestly, there are none that I'm aware of that teach social skills and teach those explicit, soft, early vocational skills. But there are different programs across the country that work with kids and bikes at the same
right.
time.
Right. But that's really what I was thinking when I said that this combination is what makes it so unique. And I can see how your own life experience, both, you know, your degree, as well as your experience as a child with your father and your brother, have both kind of merged to create this very unique offering that you have that I think is badly needed in our society. So anyway, that's what I was thinking that's what came together when I saw this as a national program.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, I live in a neighborhood in which, you know, there are kids who don't have some of those skills. You know, we have great kids in our neighborhood, but kind of coming from an underprivileged area, we recognize that there's a need for those skills. So it's exciting. It's exciting to see the growth.
Yeah, I agree. So there are, you've mentioned a few things already that you're teaching these kids, introducing, how to introduce themselves, how to listen, following directions, how to respectfully disagree with someone, which I think is fabulous. Wish I had somebody who taught me that when I was a young child. There are others in your curriculum. Can you talk about them?
Sure. We teach a variety of social skills. So another one is sharing something. So we talk about the value of sharing things. And it's really about when you're working with materials, and we often make the connection to a bike shop. If you're working in a bike shop or any other kind of area in which there's limited materials, you want to learn how to share things, how to not totally grab onto things and be, I don't want to say selfish, but be too possessive of things, and learn how to trade and take turns and take care of other people's things. You know, sharing things is, I think, crucial to any kind of work environment. So that's a piece. The other thing is asking for help. You know, I think it takes kids a lot of courage to be able to say, I don't understand how to do this. I don't understand quite what you said or how it's supposed to look. So asking for help is a piece. And then another one that comes to mind is apologizing. That's another one that I think for any of us is really kind of a challenging thing to say, to self-reflect and say, I think I did something wrong. I think I might want to go back to the person who was hurt by that and saying, I'm sorry. You know, I recognize what I did, and I'm sorry for that. So there's a variety of things, but those are things that really mean a lot to me and I think are really crucial for kids to understand and to be able to demonstrate in many, many situations.
Thanks so much. I am so excited by what we're learning here today. And to our listening audience, we've got a lot more to talk about. We're going to, when we come back, talk with Ethan about Fix-a-Palooza. And we're going to talk a little bit also about Zen and the art of bike maintenance. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or Twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
When you talk about the subject of bullying, it's not just the person being bullied who is dealing with complicated issues. It's also parents and teachers. Bullying has even taken a new turn with social networking, negative images, and even reality TV. Tune in to One Word Nation Radio with host Jessica Brookshire. We'll put the issue of bullying front and center, going beyond the classrooms and hallways of our schools to help empower and protect youth and their families. Listen every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Tune into Goddard Design every week for everything that is arts, interior design, and architecture. Host Chris Goddard will help you explore and invite creativity into your life. Our guests will include industry leaders and insiders who take you through the entire world of design and its many facets. You may not be immediately aware, but design is involved in nearly everything we do, from homes to clothing to food and drink. Tune into Goddard Design every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Family caregivers face some tough challenges every day in caring for a partner, parent, child, sibling, friend, neighbor, or even coworker. You are there to provide the care that these people need after everyone else has gone home. Family Caregivers Unite with Dr. Gordon Atherley will provide you with a social networking experience. You'll hear from experts and others who are experiencing the same things, and together you will promote a common cause. Tune in to Family Caregivers Unite live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and thanks for staying with us. We're here today talking to Ethan Alexander, founder and executive director of Open Roads in Kalamazoo, Michigan. So we've been talking a bit about your Earn a Bike program, and I know you have another program that's got a fabulous name called Fix-a-Palooza.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about it?
Sure. Fix-a-Palooza is a neighborhood-based program that we started a couple years back, just as a way to include more people. You know, the Earn a Bike program is great, but it's designed for a specific group of kids who are signed up by their school personnel or by an after-school person or whatever. But Fix-a-Palooza is a neighborhood program in which we kind of open up an area to anybody and everybody that wants to come by. So for the past few years, we've been doing this in the Edison neighborhood in Kalamazoo. And we've been borrowing our good friend and board member Eric's garage. So Eric lives across the street from me, and he said, yeah, you can use my garage. And so we pretty much took it over and filled it with bikes and tools and tables and stands and parts. And so every week on Monday evenings, we open that up and pull out these repair stands and invite the kids from the neighborhood, in which there are many kids who come either dragging their broken bikes or come riding on their bikes, which may be well-tuned, but in many cases are ailing for some reason or another. And we open it up to them and their families as well. So sometimes we have parents come down too and say, you know, hey, Hayden wants to, heard about your program and wants to come. Is that okay? So we say, sure, sign this release. Make sure that, you know, so we have your consent to work with him. And so we have all these kids, and we start off by reviewing our roads expectations, the respect, own your actions, attitude, discipline, safety. And we talk about what the night's going to look like and what we're going to do. And then we break into teams. We divide the kids and the volunteers into teams. And then we start in on bikes. So there is a mechanic at each station. And sometimes this is someone who just comes by for the evening and knows about bikes, and so works with four or five kids at his or her station. And they just, they start on an open roads bike that we put in front of them. Or if a child brings a bike and they want that repaired, we start in on that. And we, you know, so we say, so what's wrong with the bike? Okay, let's look at it. Well, it's got a flat tire. Right. And the brakes don't work. Right. Good. So what do we do about that? And then, so we kind of go through this assessment and diagnosis and then repair. And then, so we have four or five different stations, and it's really, I often wish I could get an aerial view of this, because it's just super fun to watch. Just all these kids, and they're all kind of busy, and they're all huddled over these bikes. And we have, you know, grease out and chains out and tools, and it's really a beautiful kind of organized chaos that's going on. So, and anybody from the community can stop by, whether it's a parent or we've had, there's a gentleman who rides a bike 12 months a year also, and he sometimes comes by for a tune-up. And I guess I can't talk about Fix-a-Palooza without thinking about David if you don't mind, if I launch into this little David story.
No, we'd love stories. Go ahead.
Yeah. So David is a 15-year-old boy who started coming to Fixapalooza, and I guess, you know, he lives in my neighborhood. I hadn't seen him before, but he started coming to Fixapalooza, kind of quiet young man. But he was there every week without fail. And he would go and bring his bike, and he's always doing something to his bike. He's changing out the handlebars or putting new pedals or something. And so David starts coming regularly, and then he starts coming early. So he wants to come early to help set up. So he comes at like 5:45 to get the stands ready and the tools ready and the parts out and things like that. And then David starts knocking at my door because he figured out, hey, this guy lives across the street and he's in charge. So he knocks at my door every day at like 5:30 before program. And I say, David, yeah, I'm glad you're here. Give me a minute. I just got to like change my shoes and put on some work clothes and I'll be right there. Okay. Yeah. We're doing it tonight, right? Yep. We're on it. We're going to make it happen. So he's got his bike and a handful of tools. And so David starts helping us set up and starts really. And if a customer comes by or somebody comes by to get their bike fixed, David's the first guy on it. He brings their bike over and starts to like work with another mechanic to like talk to them. Well, you got a flat tire. Yeah. Yep. I do have a flat tire. So thanks, David. So David has been kind of the superstar of Fixapalooza. And what was really kind of super exciting this fall, we started an apprenticeship program. So we talked to one of our local shops, Zoo City Bike, and we said, hey, do you think you might be willing to take on an apprentice? And they said, yeah, well, let's talk about it. So we kind of worked out the details. And in September or October, we placed David in a part-time position at the shop. So he went through this little interview process and he talked to his supervising mechanic and he started working for this short apprenticeship at Zoo City Cycle.
And oh, so great.
Fun to watch. I would pick him up from work. I would take turns with his mom. One week his mom would come and the next week I would come. And I would say, so David, how'd it go? And pretty much every week he would say, awesome. That's great. What'd you do? Well, I put together. Yeah. Great. And I learned how to do a derailleur, or I learned how to like put on new pedals, or I learned how to like, you just, it's hard to contain this guy because he's into it. You know, this is a young man who's not terribly successful in school. Mm. He doesn't have the best skills in terms of, you know, like math or writing or things like that. But when you put him in front of a bike and he just kind of shines, it's super fun to watch. And they saw that. They were really excited to like work with him, and the whole staff kind of fell in love with David. And so we're hoping to have him back. Definitely at Fixapalooza in the spring. We're hoping to do an apprenticeship part two, either at that shop or another shop in the spring. So
what an exciting story about this kid and how this, you know, and I was thinking about how you opened the show. We asked you questions about your own childhood. There will be a time in his life when someone asks him this same question, and this will be the story or one of the stories he tells about his own life. It's really exciting to hear this.
Thanks. He's
So we've got Fixapalooza, we've got
Earn a bike
program, and then the last one you have is called Zen and the Art of Bike Maintenance, and this is not with kids. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that one?
It's an interesting story. What we found over the past few years is, honestly, adults love to play as much as kids do. So, through our Fixapalooza program, we had adults sign up to volunteer. We want to help out at this program. And several of them were saying, yeah, I want to help out, but I don't know how to fix bikes. Well, that's okay. You know, you can learn or work in a group or, you know, talk to David. He knows things. And So we started to get that there's a significant demand and desire from adults to do the same kind of process. So this fall, we went to one of our local hospitals, Bronson Hospital, and they have this lunch and learn series. And one of our board members, Maggie, kind of helped get us in the door to lunch and learn. So Jason and I, our mechanic and I, went to go work with a group of hospital staff. So these are doctors and nurses and administrators. And we put on this hour-long series about bike mechanics. And honestly, we played it pretty much the same way we play any kids programs, in that we taught a social skill and we taught a bike skill. And they would chuckle at the social skill, but they had fun with it. And we would also give out bike bucks. And bike bucks are our little tickets that we use to acknowledge people. We, you know, primarily use them with kids, but we found that adults got excited too. So they get this little ticket with a Open Roads bike symbol on it. And we said, nice job on that fixing a flat task. Good work. And so we would give them
a bike. That's great.
You know, like, oh, I got a bike. And then you raffle off a book on bike mechanics or a bike light or a little pant like Velcro holder thing, these little trinkets, and people would get all, they would write their names on their bike box and get all excited. I got a bike. Or whatever. So we said, I think we need to do this for the big kids too. So this spring, we're launching a class called Zen and the Art of Bike Maintenance for adults exclusively. And it kind of breaks my heart to leave out the kids, but I think adults love this just as much. And our secret mission is we're going to teach them the skills and then rope them in to be our mechanics and volunteers for program. So.
And I also think that as you begin working more and more with adults and they really get to see how this program works, you'll attract potential board members, you'll attract avenues for funding for your organization as you grow. And I know that you have a desire to grow. You feel like you're at a place where you're sort of launching into something larger. Do you want to talk a little bit about that before our show comes to a close?
So we've been working for the past few years underneath a group called the Idea Association, which is a local nonprofit, and they have the mission to support blossoming emerging nonprofit type organizations. So we're starting to realize we need to get on our own bike. We need to take off the training wheels and start to grow the program such that we can have a home. We don't have any, we work out of garages and basements in somebody's living room and somebody else's driveway. But we want to grow the program so that we can get the resources to offer programs 12 months a year instead of just when the sun is shining, or be able to provide toolboxes to the kids who graduate from our program. So we are in this process. This year, 2013, is our kind of kicking down the door, hoping to become our own entity. And we really need the support and the generosity of the world to say, yeah, you're doing good work. Keep doing
good work. Yeah. Well, there's no question about that. You are doing pretty incredible work, and I'll do a little pitch for you on your behalf. You know, there are lots of ways in which we spend our money. We spend our money for things that we need. We spend money foolishly. We spend money well. And I think when we're really looking at the society in which we live and thinking about ways in which we can create the world we want to create, money is one of our best tools. How do we spend that money? How do we use that money? And how do we donate that money? And I would say that whether you're in Kalamazoo, Michigan, or anywhere in the country, this is a pretty worthwhile program and a great way to let your money speak for you and make an investment. So if there were somebody listening that wanted to invest in your organization, Ethan, how would they do that?
Sure. It's a fairly simple process. We have a website called openbike.org, roads plural, bike singular, .org. And on that website, there is a little tab that says Get Involved. And when you click on the Get Involved page, there's this section called Contribute, and you just click on the Contribute button, and that allows you to make a fully tax-deductible donation to Open Roads. Because we are underneath a 501c3, it's a tax-deductible donation. And you can choose to become a mechanic marvel or a social skills superstar, whatever level you're comfortable donating, and that goes to help pay for tools or help pay for helmets or help pay for the t-shirts that kids earn. Every kid who graduates from the program gets the bike, of course, and as well as a t-shirt and a lock and a helmet. And we want to be able to make that possible for many more kids in Kalamazoo. So
that's great. So their website is openroadsbike.org. And I want to thank you so much. This, as promised, was a very spirited interview. Thank you so much, Ethan.
Arianna, thank you. It's really wonderful to be on your show. It's an honor, and I'm very grateful for Bread for the Journey.
Great. So Bread for the Journey is a nonprofit organization that could also use your support if you find a place in your heart to make a financial contribution, or if you'd like to start a chapter of Bread for the Journey in your town. You can go to our website at breadforthejourney.org. And if you'd like to make a contribution to Ethan's program, it is openroadsbike.org. And I believe that if we all pitch in a little bit, we can change the world. And I close today, as I do every show, with this. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free.
We hope our program inspired you this week. Please join Mariana Cacciatore for another edition of Bread for the Journey next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.